Today we are in week 13 of Believe, and the practice we're focusing in on today is Bible study. And it's a challenging message to share today because we as a people, particularly Americans, aren't real good readers. We don't read a lot of books. One poll stated that in the past 12 months, 41% of the respondents had not read a fiction book, 42% had not read a nonfiction book, and 28% hadn't read a book at all. We won't ask for a show of hands today, but let me ask you, which would you rather do, watch a movie or read a book? It's probably watch a movie, right? We much prefer to watch a movie than read a book, and when it comes to the Bible, the results are similar. You may recall back in week 4 of Believe, we talked about the Bible as how it is our rule of faith and practice, and how 88% of Americans own a Bible, many more than one Bible, and yet we have the Bible, but are we really reading it? According to a Barna research group, less than 50% of Americans open the Bible in a given week. Less than 50% open the Bible in a given week. 82% think that the phrase, God helps those who help themselves, comes from Scripture. It does not. 63% cannot name the four Gospels. 58% do not know that Jesus preached a Sermon on the Mount. And 52% do not know that the book of Jonah is in the Bible. It reminds me of a story I read about a religious woman who did a lot of flying for her work, and air travel made her very nervous. And so she always took her Bible along to read it, since it was helped her to relax on these long flights. And one time she found herself sitting next to a man who chuckled and then smirked when she pulled out her Bible. He turned to her and asked, "You don't really believe all the stuff that's in there, do you?" The lady replied, "Well, of course I do. It's the Bible." "Well, what about that guy who was swallowed by the whale?" he asked. And she replied, "Oh, Jonah, yes, I believe that. It's in the Bible." He, still smirking, the man asked, "Well, how do you suppose he survived all that time inside the whale?" And the lady replied, "Well, I don't really know. I guess when I get to heaven, I'll ask him." "Well, what if he isn't in heaven?" the man asked sarcastically, to which the lady answered, "Then you can ask him." As we embrace this idea of Bible study here this morning, I want you to be open to this idea that if we're going to grow into the image of Christ, we need to be engaged in God's Word more than simply once a week, but every day. And we need to study God's Word together. The believer who attempts to live the Christian life without their Bible, while it's gathering dust, is like a construction worker who's trying to build a building without blueprints. You can't do it. Or if you attempt to do it, you're not going to do it well. We need God's Word in us in order to live the Christian life. I love the way the author of Hebrews in chapter 4, verse 12, which is our key verse today, listen to how he describes the Word of God. He says, "For the Word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." The Word of God cuts to the core. It acts like a surgeon's scalpel, and it cuts to the core, and it helps us to understand the attitudes and the actions of our lives, the things that are on our hearts, on our mind. And so when we allow God's Word to get into us, we begin to understand God better and understand His will for our lives. The key question today is, why and how do I study God's Word? Why and how do I study God's Word? I appreciated very much the intergenerational Sunday school moment we had there before, where we were studying God's Word and using different ways of studying God's Word. Each of them certainly appropriate. And we need to understand there's more than one way to study God's Word. So the key idea today is I study the Bible to know God and His truth and to find direction for my life. Let me suggest some practical ways to incorporate Bible study into your lives. First, develop the habit of regular Bible reading. Develop the habit of regular Bible reading. Your soul is starved. It is starved for the Word of God. And the Word of God refreshes our soul. So start small. If you had not eaten in some time, you would not want to devour a Thanksgiving meal in one sitting. It would be too much for you to handle, but smaller portions would work. And Simon Chan wisely points out at the beginning, be concerned with only reading God's Word. Understanding will come later. Start with 10 minutes a day and just read. So I'm going to encourage you to start just reading God's Word. Every January we put out a Read Through the Bible in a Year program that if you faithfully follow that plan, you will read through the Bible in 1 year. And for some of you, that seems too ambitious. So start with like the Gospel of John, 21 chapters. Read a chapter a day. In 3 weeks, you'll have read the Gospel of John. And then read it again. Read it a second time. Just make the reading of God's Word a daily practice. Start small, and then you'll begin to want more because you'll find it is feeding your soul. One of my memories I have growing up is getting ready for school in the morning, and I would remember looking into my parents' bedroom, and my mother would have her Bible open on the bed. Somehow, in the midst of the busyness of her morning, of getting herself up, getting her husband up, getting the kids up and ready for school, and getting herself ready for work that day, she found time to read God's Word as it laid open on her bed before she would go to work. And still today, at 87 years of age, she's still reading God's Word daily. Make it a practice to read it daily. Remember, the author of Hebrews says the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. But that double-edged sword will only cut what? If it's used. Double-edged sword doesn't do much good if it's laying on the counter. It's only practical if it's being used, and so is the Word of God. Begin with a daily reading of Scripture. And as you read the Bible regularly, you know what? You'll begin to meditate on God's Word. And that's our second point, is we need to meditate on God's Word. And I know when you hear that word meditate, you begin to think of Eastern religions and people sitting on the floor with their legs crossed saying, om, om, all those kinds of things. Don't think of it that way. Meditating on God's Word actually goes back to the Old Testament. That's what they did back in the Old Testament days, is they would meditate on the Word of God. Because they didn't have a King James Bible that they could pull down and read every day. They heard the Word proclaimed to them, oral tradition, and they had to think about it over and over again. The Hebrew word for meditate means to mutter or to mumble or to growl. It was used to describe a lion who was ready to feast on its prey, making that low growling sound. It was used to describe what a person would do who is thinking about the words of Scripture. Again, they didn't have the printed word, so they had to think about what they had heard and meditate, ponder over in their mind again the Word of God. They'd think about it as they went about their day and keep turning it over and over again. So repeat it. Repeat the Word of God in your mind. Whatever you read that morning, think about it as you go about the day. Think about that passage you read and think about maybe the word that jumped out at you. Why was that word jumping out at you? What is the Lord trying to tell you? Meditate on God's Word. Take a section of Scripture with you through the day and say it, and it'll stay with you as you meditate on it. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 said, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. And on his law he meditates day and night. Third, develop the habit of memorizing Scripture. This is a tough one for us. If you're like me, memorizing Scripture is hard. But do you know that for a Jewish boy, between the ages of 5 and 10, they would become partnered with a rabbi, and they would begin to memorize the Word of God. Between the ages of 5 and 10, a Jewish male, under the teaching of a rabbi, would memorize the first 5 books of the Old Testament called the Torah. And they would have it memorized by the age of 10, and they would recite that to the rabbi. Now, I don't know about you, but I looked in one of my Bibles. There's 208 pages in the first five books of the Bible. And they would memorize those first five books by the age of 10. And then when they got to 10, they would begin memorizing the rest of the Old Testament. And by the age of 14, if they had done well enough by memorizing Scripture, guess what? They could be brought into being trained as a rabbi. Trade so they could find a way to make a living. The idea of memorizing Scripture doesn't come easy for us. But we need to memorize God's Word. We need to revive some of these ancient practices. Wayne Cordero is a longtime pastor in Hawaii, and he was in China, and he was teaching 22 underground pastors. They had traveled 13 hours by train to be with him. They sat 8 hours a day on the floor in a hot room to learn about God. He asked them how many people they represented, and those 22 pastors said they represented 22 million people. Think about that. And during the teaching, Pastor Cordero asked them to turn in their Bibles to a certain passage, and he noticed that one lady who was 70 years old didn't turn in the passage, but instead gave her Bible to a younger woman. He noticed that she didn't need it because she had it memorized. Later he asked her about it, and she said that she learned to memorize God's Word while she was free, because she knew she would eventually be put into prison. She had already spent 12 years in prison, and she said that when you're in prison, they take the Bible away from you. But when it's in your heart, they can't take it away from you. Pastor Cordero said it was a very humbling experience. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Pastor, I can't memorize Scripture. I can't do it. And you know what I say? I can't do it either. It's hard to memorize Scripture, but the key to memorizing Scripture is not intentionally memorizing, it's reading it over and over again. The more you are in Scripture, the more you'll begin to memorize Scripture. Lastly, to make this practice more meaningful as a part of our lives, we need to develop the habit of discussing the Word of God in community. I appreciate Mike's challenge here today of doing the book of Romans and studying that and inviting us to be in community and study the book of Romans together. When we allow what we are reading in God's Word to be a part of our daily conversations, you know what's happening? That double-edged sword is doing its job. It's doing its job. It's training us. It's correcting us. It's giving us understanding. One of the most valuable things about this belief study is doing it together. Together in community. And there is something dynamic about digging into God's Word together, studying God's Word together with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, people who want to learn and grow as well. And that's why Bible study is such an important practice here at Mechanic Grove and through our Sunday school and small group programs. And you know, if you read the Bible on your own, it's easy to become disoriented. It's easy to become overwhelmed because the Bible is 66 books covering 1,500 years with 40 different authors. And it uses different types of literature. And you can start reading that and you can become confused very quickly. But when you study God's Word together with brothers and sisters in Christ, understanding comes much easier. Application becomes much easier. That's what happens in the context of Christian community. Sunday school classes, small groups where God's people can grow together in the collective study of the Bible. So, Pastor, how do I read and study the Bible? Let me give you some takeaways here. First, read the Bible with an open mind. Read it with an open mind. Don't come to the Bible with a determination that I need to find a passage of Scripture that justifies what I'm thinking or what I'm thinking in my mind. Sometimes we do that. I know there's a passage in the Bible here somewhere that tells me that what I'm doing is right. Just read the Bible with an open mind. Read what it says about our Creator, about Jesus Christ, about His relationship with us. Read it with an open mind. Second, use a translation you understand. Use a translation you understand. You know, we don't talk in Middle English anymore. So we don't need to read the King James Bible, right? We don't talk in Middle English. And actually, some of the modern translations are better, more accurate than the King James Bible was. So find a translation that works for you. And find one that you'll be able to read and understand, and allow that to be your Bible study Bible, that you're going to read God's Word from this translation and learn from it. There are many good translations to choose from. Third, recognize the type of literature you are reading. The Bible's a complicated book. It really is. Mike's taken on Romans. Romans is a tough, tough book. A lot of deep theology in the book of Romans. 66 books making up the Bible, and there's things that are historical, there's things that are prophetic, there's poetry, there's stories, all kinds of different literature in the Bible. Know what kind of literature you're reading. We don't read poetry the same way that we read historical accounts. We read poetry a little different. And so when we're in the Psalms and we're reading about Psalms that are poems and songs of worship, we're going to read that differently than we do the book of Kings and Chronicles, which highlights historical events. Sometimes Jesus told stories we call parables to make a point. Other times he gave more direct teaching, like the Sermon on the Mount. Understand what you're reading. And when it comes to the book of Revelation, really understand what you're reading. That this is prophetic language. It's hard to understand sometimes. The more we read, the more we study, we'll understand. Oh, I'm reading historical information here. I'm going to apply that differently than when I'm reading poetry or I'm reading something else. So read, understand the literature you're reading in the Bible. Fourth, read in context. You know, you can take a verse of Scripture out of context and make it prove just about any point you want. But you need to read in context. Need to understand why this passage is being shared in this part of the letter or this part of the Bible, who's speaking it, who the audience is. And if there's confusing parts in that section of Scripture, find other parts that are similar, that are less confusing. A good study Bible can help you do that. Context will tell you a lot. Read in historical context. And lastly, join with others. Join with others. The greatest Bible studies I have ever been a part of have been with parishioners or with pastors as we studied God's Word together. If you're hungering for God's Word, let me encourage you to join a Sunday school class. Join a Sunday school class because we are digging into God's Word. Or if you want to come Wednesday night, we dig into God's Word Wednesday night. This week we're going to be digging into the resurrection of Jesus on Wednesday night at 6:30. Come out for that as we engage God's Word together. Friends, let me close with this. What if for one week you exchanged your mobile phone for your Bible? You want a Lenten, take up Lenten challenge? There's one for you right there. Anywhere you normally take your phone, you take your Bible instead. Anytime you normally look at your phone, you look at God's Word instead. The time you spend calling, texting, or scrolling or browsing online with your phone, you traded for reading God's Word. What if you put a Bible app as the very first thing to open on your phone? If you normally place your phone next to you at a business meeting or next to your plate at the dinner table, what if you put a Bible there instead? What difference would that exchange make in your life in just one week? And whose life would impact? You know, this line of questions is not to trigger guilt among you, but it's just simply to challenge you that we need to be a people of the Word. We need to study God's Word, and the best way to do that is to do it together, in community, one with another. And when we do that, you know what we'll find? We're growing and becoming more and more like Jesus. So friends, as you practice the study of the Bible, God wants to work His Word in and through you, because what we believe matters and what we practice matters. To the praise of His glory, amen, so be it, amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we confess that too often we don't allow the time to read and engage Your Word, to meditate on Scripture, to commit to memory your truth, and to study in community your word. This is a challenging lesson today, Lord, a challenging message, because it's a growing edge for all of us. So, Father, convict us that as we continue to engage your word, we'll understand even more. And ideally, we will be shaped, transformed by that double-edged sword that will make us more and more like Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.